Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, it's emerged the company at the centre of an RTE Investigates report which raised significant concerns over CARE owns three facilities in Donegal. Meanwhile, it's been confirmed that the HSE has approved a recommendation that a surgical hub for the Northwest be located at Sligo University Hospital. A former parish priest in Donegal has been remanded in custody as a suitable bail address cannot yet be secured. And Malinhead recorded its sunniest spring in 11 years this year. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First news this evening, a convicted rapist who previously resided in Donegal and threatened and harassed three female Sunday World journalists has been jailed today for 11 years. 53-year-old Mark McEnaw, previously of Letterkenny, refused to enter a bond before a sitting of Dublin Circuit Criminal Court, which would have suspended the final 12 months of the sentence imposed for the harassment of Nicola Tallant, Amanda Brunker and Deirdre Reynolds. He pleaded guilty to the harassment of the three women on various dates in August 2023. The court heard McEnaw repeatedly sent the three women emails and messages of a violent and sexually threatening nature, which escalated to him threatening to put a bullet in one of them. He's been ordered not to have contact either directly or indirectly with the women, that he should not approach them, go within 10 miles of their homes and workplaces, or communicate with them for life. The 53-year-old was previously convicted of the rape of a foreign student in Donegal in October 2010 and for kidnapping and assault convictions in 1989 and 2011 respectively. He's been detained in the Central Mental Hospital. It's emerged the company at the centre of an RTE Investigates report which raised significant concerns over CARE owns three facilities in Donegal. The programme showed multiple examples of CARE failings and neglect of vulnerable older residents in two facilities operated by MES Ireland in Portlaoise and Dublin. The company also owns Beechill Manor Fawn, Brentwood Manor and Brindley Manor, both in Convoy, none of which were the subject of the investigation. HICWA says escalatory action on foot of the programme means admissions have now been stopped at the residence in Portlaoise, with more investigations to take place there, and Ben Evan Manor in Glasnevin. Maria, who campaigns for better treatment of older people, says residents shouldn't have to leave their human rights at the door of a nursing home.
Now I find myself now in a position where I wonder, did my loved one endure that? Did he have to sit in an incontinence pad because there was nobody to take him to the toilet? And I have to be honest, I'm under no illusion that that is probably the case.
Meanwhile, Shane Scanlon, CEO of the Alliance Supporting Nursing Homes, says HICWA needs to provide more support to whistleblowers who contact them.
Put further protection measures in for when a protected disclosure is made into HICWA. Like, a full review needs to be taken, an independent one, not by themselves, of what happens when a protected disclosure is made. How can that person be protected and what will immediately happen afterwards? And I think once you put that out to the public in general, people will feel a lot more comfortable in making such disclosures.
It's been confirmed that the HSE has approved a recommendation that a surgical hub for the Northwest be located at Sligo University Hospital. There was much dismay last month when it emerged Sligo was being put forward as the preferred location as opposed to Letterkenny University Hospital. 171 Donegal doctors this week called for an urgent meeting with the Health Minister on the matter and for a decision on the surgical hub to be paused until further reviews were carried out. The proposal is expected to come before the Department of Health in the coming weeks. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says an urgent meeting with Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill is vital.
Well, the next step, we're told, is that it goes to the Department of Health over the coming week, and that's now a response I have in writing from Tony Canavan, the Regional Executive Officer for the HSE West and Northwest. It's now clear that we need an urgent intervention from the Minister for Health. It's clear that we haven't been listened to, the public representatives in Donegal, but more importantly now, 171 doctors are not being listened to. So this meeting that they have requested with the Minister for Health is now absolutely urgent. We cannot have a situation where the Department of Health sign off on this without looking at the case that's been made for Letterkenny, the overwhelming case being made for a surgical hub for Letterkenny. So it's now an urgent matter. Unfortunately, we are not being listened to in Donegal, and we need the Minister to intervene immediately.
In his letter to you, Tony Canavan did highlight that there'll be capital priorities for Letterkenny University Hospital, but what you're saying and what the doctors are saying is that it's not enough and it won't be on time.
Exactly. The problem is that we don't have clear budgets. Timelines are the big issue. When you're dealing with surgical hubs, you know, there's a set model now that's been applied across the state, so there's already six being rolled out. Some of them are actually open at this stage, and clear budgets, clear plans, so we will have that much faster. So this is an urgent matter, as the doctors have conveyed, and we need now the Minister for Health to intervene, to listen to the case, to realise that Letterkenny and the people of Donegal are being shafted, frankly, here, and we cannot accept this. We can't accept second-class citizenship for our people anymore.
The EU's Trade Commissioner has held discussions with the Northern Secretary. Mara Sefcovic and Hilary Benn review progress under the Windsor Framework. They also spoke about the way forward after the EU-UK summit, with a focus on Northern Ireland's specific situation and potential benefits. A former parish priest in Donegal has been remanded in custody as a suitable bail address cannot yet be secured. 58-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park, Lifford, faces charges of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April the 2nd and 17th, 2025. Cameron Clark reports.
At today's sitting of the court, defence barrister Stephen Chapman told the court that a proposed bail application would not be going ahead as the defendant had not been able to obtain an address. He asked for the bail application to travel along until such time as an address can be obtained and said there was no requirement to produce the defendant. A prosecutor told the court that a full file in the case was not expected until the 27th of June and as yet nothing had been received. Gallagher was remanded in continuing custody to appear again on the 3rd of July.
The Justice Minister says he doesn't feel guilty over the deportation of children. It's after 35 people, including five children, were deported to Nigeria last night. The children were part of family groups and have arrived safely in the country. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan says he can't allow a situation where a person who has children is immune from deportation.
Well, sorry, the people responsible for that are their parents, who allowed them to be here and to remain here in circumstances when they weren't entitled to be here. So, like, I'm not going to feel, I know you're not suggesting this, I don't feel guilty about that. It's not a very pleasant function I have to fulfil.
Waiting times for driving tests are already showing a reduction. The RSA says the average national wait time has fallen by almost 2 weeks since tests were offered over extended hours, at weekends and on bank holidays. It fell from 22 weeks to 20.6 weeks. In Donegal, driving test waiting lists are down on average 4 weeks. The wait for a test in Buncrana is currently 22 weeks, while it is 11 weeks in Donegal Town and 20 in Letterkenny. Taxes collected by the government rose by almost 4% in the first 5 months of the year, according to the latest Exchequer returns. €36.4 billion in total was gathered up until the end of May. When the ample tax money is included, the amount of tax collected was up 8.5%. Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers, says tax returns are still strong.
We've really strong tax returns when it comes to income tax and VAT in particular, which shows the underlying strength of the domestic economy in Ireland. We've had a reduction in corporation tax. Some of that in May has resulted in the one-off exception we would have had last year in the month of May. We have to assess the wider trends in corporation tax, particularly in June as well, which is an important corporation tax month.
An alert's been issued over the unprecedented numbers of Pacific pink salmon in rivers. Inland Fisheries Ireland says the potential presence of large numbers of the non-native species pose a threat to the survival of native Atlantic salmon and sea trout. It's asking anglers to report any sightings of the Pacific pink salmon to the IFI. The species has appeared in large numbers in multiple river systems in the northwest, west and southwest in previous years. Donegal Festival Sea Sessions will not go ahead this year. The annual music festival, which takes place along Bundoran Beach, is usually held in late June. Silence about the event this year has led to speculation about its future, and organisers have now confirmed the festival has been pulled. A statement on social media says, "Sorry for having been so quiet on here, but we have some news. Sea Sessions is taking a break in 2025. Donegal has received €1.3 million from the Community Recognition Fund. It will be shared among 17 community and regeneration projects being carried out by a number of organisations in the county, including Letterkenny Youth and Community Centre, Carrick Regeneration Group and Donegal County Council. Minister of State for Sport and Postal Policy, Charlie McConlogue, says the funding recognises the work of community groups in Donegal.
Significant funding across the county, which will be of great benefit to local community groups in providing the, and continuing to do the really work, important work they do for local communities.
And we heard Minister Cleary saying there at the announcement that it was important that this funding goes to communities, but especially to communities that have welcomed a lot of immigration, and I suppose Donegal must be recognised in that.
Yeah, and this funding is a recognition of that. That's important as well for communities who have done such good work in terms of supporting new people that have come, particularly, you know, fleeing wars in many parts of the world. And community facilities are really important. And that work of local community groups is really important. And this funding now is to support them in that work and see the development of their facilities and to ensure that they can continue to develop those facilities that they have and the working conditions they have too.
Malin Head recorded its sunniest spring in 11 years this year. According to Met Aaron's provisional spring weather statement, Malin Head weather station recorded 649.7 hours of seasonal sunshine. The highest number of daily sunshine hours at 15.2 was recorded on Sunday, May the 18th. Meanwhile, Finnair weather station recorded 8 very wet days, joint highest with Newport in County Mayo.
Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A 5:15, it's time for the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michael. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Finn Harps will host UCD in the second round of the FAI Cup, while last year's beaten finalist Derry City will make the trip to Limerick to face Treaty United. Following the draw, which took place this afternoon, there are no All Premier Division ties as holders Drogheda United start the FAI Cup. Cup defence at home to Crumlin United. In other standout ties, First Division table toppers Dundalk will meet Sligo Rovers. Shamrock Rovers will play Wexford, and Fannin United's conquerors Leicester Celtic have been drawn away to Cork City. Troy Parrott trained with the Republic of Ireland squad today after suffering with illness this week. He remains a doubt for tomorrow's friendly with Senegal in Dublin, but the rest of the squad are fit and ready to play. Josh Keeley, John Joe Patrick, Finn, Killian Phillips and Josh Hunahan will all be hoping to make their international debuts in this window. Head coach Hamer Helgrimsson has hinted at giving them game time either tomorrow or on Tuesday against Luxembourg.
Yeah, the purpose of having a look at them is to see if they are ready to play. Whether it will be tomorrow or against Luxembourg or not at all, we would just have to wait and see. But like I said, we've been happy with the players coming in, both how they have coped with the working environment, but also getting on board the messages and wanting to learn. That's always the most important, is that their will to learn is huge.
Rangers have appointed former Southampton manager Russell Martin as their new head coach on a 3-year deal. As a player, the ex-Scotland defender spent a short spell on loan at Ibrox, and the club's former striker Chris Boyd says Martin is the right choice.
He's already been here as a player. He understands the pressures, the demands that is put on, you know, as a player. But as a manager, it's going to be totally different. He will have to deal with everything. But I firmly believe that this is the right appointment for Rangers Football Club, and I think he'll do really well.
After defeating Germany last night, Portugal will find out their Nations League final opponents later. Spain and France meet in the second semi-final with kick-off in Stuttgart at 8. Moving on to tennis, Aryba Sabalenka has produced a stunning performance to reach the final of the French Open for the first time in her career. The top seed stormed to a 6-love whitewash in the third set to knock out defending champion Iga Swiatek at Roland Garros. The second semi-final has gotten underway with world number 361 Louise Boisson up against American second seed Coco Gauff. Gauff is currently 3-love up in the first set. In golf, Rory McIlroy is up to 1-under par through 14 holes of his first round at the Canadian Open. There's a 3-way tie for the lead on 5-under. Shane Lowry and Seamus Power tee off either side of 6 o'clock. Connor Purcell is now 2 over par after 14 holes on day 1 of the KLM Open. Portugal's Ricardo Gouveia is the clubhouse leader there on 7 under. In horse racing, Oisínor has been in the winner's circle at Hamilton this evening. The Donegal jockey was on board 2 Owl Pals for trainer Lucinda Russell in the 3-12 race, riding to victory at 5-1. There is an 8 race card underway at Leopardstown. It's a busy evening ahead for our Donegal jockeys. Dylan Brown McMonigal has 6 rides there. Luke McAteer has 3 and Patrick McGettigan has 2. In boxing, Dunloe native Matthew McCall is in the hunt for a national title in Belfast this evening. The Illy's Golden Gloves boxer will fight Eugene McKeever of Holy Family Drogheda in tonight's National Elite 70kg final at the Girdwood Community Hub. Finally, with the League of Ireland on a mid-season break and a gap in the All-Ireland Series for the North West Counties, the team on Highlands, the Score programme are also on a well-earned break. There will be no show this evening, but the Score will return next Thursday with another action-packed episode. That is all your sport for today. Back with more during the half 8 news tomorrow morning. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. For weather now, there will be a mix of bright spells and scattered showers this evening. Scattered showers will spread early on tonight with lowest temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening: a convicted rapist who previously resided in Donegal and threatened and harassed 3 female Sunday World journalists has been jailed for 11 years. 53-year-old Mark McEnough, previously of Letterkenny, refused to enter a bond before a sitting of Dublin Circuit Criminal Court, which would have suspended the final 12 months of the sentence imposed for the harassment of Nicola Tallant, Amanda Brunker and Deirdre Reynolds. It's emerged the company at the centre of an RTÉ Investigates report which raised significant concerns over CARE owns 3 facilities in Donegal. The programme showed multiple examples of CARE failings and neglect of vulnerable older residents in 2 facilities operated by MES Ireland in Portlaoise and in Dublin. It's been confirmed that the HSE has approved a recommendation that a surgical hub for the North West be located at Sligo University Hospital. There was much dismay last month when it emerged Sligo was being put forward as the preferred location as opposed to Letterkenny University Hospital. And a former parish priest in Donegal has been remanded in custody as a suitable bail address cannot yet be secured. 58-year-old Edward Gallagher of Orchard Park, Lifford, faces charges of attempted sexual communication with a child on dates between April the 2nd and 17th, 2025. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. Good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Emyshone, Ballybuffet and Stranorler or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome along to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be speaking with Glen Swilly farmer Phelan Molloy, who is the National Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, about efforts to promote the use of wool rather than synthetic fibres. But first, the ongoing delays in getting acres payments out to farmers remains a significant issue and has not only put pressure on incomes, but has also cast a cloud over agri-environmental schemes. Latest figures show that here in Donegal, there are still a significant number of farmers who are awaiting balancing payments for 2023, not to mention more recent advance payments that are due. Well, to get an update, Phelan has been telling me more.
Yeah, you know, because unfortunately, right from the outset, acres has been a problem. Now, we've got figures recently, and just looking at the number of farmers that are waiting balancing payments for 2023, Donegal, there's still 122 farmers are waiting balancing payments for 2023. Now, we're actually 2.5 years into the scheme, and you know, I think everybody with any sort of reason would actually expect that payments would have been made at this stage. And to move on from that, there are 340 farmers in Donegal still waiting their advance payments for 2024. Now, I know that the department are actually making pay runs on an ongoing basis, mostly weekly, as cases are being cleared. But they're the latest figures that we have. Now, we're hoping to get further update on those figures at a charter meeting, which will be held next week. But, you know, just based on those figures alone, it's totally unacceptable that any farmer should actually be waiting that length of time, because quite clearly, you know, the payments arising from the acres are actually part of the income that the farmer would have budgeted for. So it can actually cause major problems from a finance point of view for farmers.
Meanwhile, the Irish Nature and Hill Farmers Association is very much in favour of the increased use of wool as part of the solution to reducing textile waste. Many people may not be aware that synthetic fibres are not eco-friendly from the production process right through to the end of their life cycle. Indeed, it is estimated that 65% of used textiles in Ireland end up in either landfill or are incinerated. At a time when wool prices are very low, Phelim Molloy has been talking to me about research into wool for use in everything from insulation to air filtration and clothing.
Yeah, you know, we were actually responding to a public consultation that was launched by Minister Alan Dillon in relation to a roadmap on circular textiles. You know, realistically, textiles and synthetic fibres. Synthetic fibre is actually a byproduct of the oil industry. And from the production of those synthetic fibres to end use, they're causing problems. Because in production, for every 1 kilo of synthetic fibre that's produced, there's 10 kilos of carbon dioxide released into the atmosphere. And there's also a huge amount of water used in that production process. And by actually trying to prolong the life of that synthetic garment, it's actually only adding to that problem. As a result of research that we have carried out, you know, wool is actually one of the most environmentally beneficial materials that can be used either for clothing, for example, an insulation, because wool will not ignite until it reaches at least 600 degrees C, and then it doesn't give off any toxic fumes and it doesn't stick to skin or anything like that. So it's a very, very safe material to be used in insulation or protective clothing as well. The New York Fire Department are actually looking at wool as being their protective clothing because of the properties that I've already mentioned. So right along the chain from the production to end use, synthetic fibres are causing a problem. And the reason we respond to that is that we're now actually looking for a meeting with Minister Dillon to just discuss the research that we have carried out on the various uses of wool and to try and, get us to a situation where there's acceptance within government circles that wool is the alternative to the synthetic fibre.
Mm-hmm. Wool prices have been low for a very long time, so if there was a potential new market there, it would certainly be most welcome.
Oh, yeah. The price has been rock bottom for the last number of years. The price that farmers are getting for isn't even covering the cost of shearing. So that's why we identified, based on the chemical composition of wool, the range of uses. And, you know, the more competition that can be created for wool, the greater the return to the farmer will be. Now, wool is very, very beneficial from an air filtration point of view because it actually naturally absorbs toxins and heavy metals out of the air. So it can be used as a passive air filtration system. For packaging, as I mentioned, garments, as a natural fertilizer, again, because of the chemical composition of the wool, keratin is the main part of the wool, but keratin comprises of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen and sulfur. And then you have phosphorus and potassium as well. So you have all the various elements that are needed for a fertilizer and contained in the wool. Cosmetics, like lanolin, is a byproduct of the scouring industry. And lanolin is used widely in the cosmetics industry. And that is a very, very valuable project as well. So, you know, there are so many different uses. Now, I know that there's a research been undertaken and two universities in Ireland at the moment into the use of wool, but it's going to be a number of years before we get the outcome of those research projects. But at least we're heading in the right direction, and I think there needs to be more emphasis from government level around wool and various uses. Now, wool is actually captures carbon, because for, say, for a 3 kilo fleece, there'd be about 0.5 of a kilo of carbon captured in that fleece. So, you know, you're benefiting from that point of view as well, that you have the carbon captured in the wool.
And if anybody wants to get involved, there is this public consultation process on how we manage our textiles at the moment, and that is currently open for people to make submissions.
Yeah, that has been launched there, and there's a time span now where members of the public can make submissions, and that's why we're actually looking for a meeting with the minister, just to present them with our policy document and to debate all the various uses, and just to raise the awareness of the huge benefit of using wool as an alternative to synthetic fibres.
And that was Phelim Molloy, National Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. And finally, the latest IFA potato report notes that the colder weather experienced in this past week should help to improve the consumption of potatoes here at home. To date, demand has been described as quite good and quality is also very good. Queens should be fit to dig in the next couple of weeks. And the market is in a very different position than it was this time last year when potatoes were very tight. On the domestic markets, prices for best quality are holding. On to cattle prices, and factories are paying up to 20 cent a kilo above quotes. The steer base is €7.50 to €7.70 a kilo. The heifer base €7.60 to €7.80 a kilo. And cows €6.60 to €7.50 a kilo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming.